Alrighty, folks. Welcome. Welcome back. This is part two of three-part talk that I'm giving over the 3 days of the Speaker's Corner. Yesterday was the future of me. Today is the future of us.
Right.
So, here we all are. We've gathered together, all of us. And the time has come to discuss where all of this is going. So to do that, let's pop into the Wayback Machine. And let's go back to before cities, before farms, before hunting, before gathering, before. To something that we really don't know very much about. The dawn of man. And woman, of course. The question of our origins, it obsesses us. It confounds us. It's opaque to us. Because which of us remembers the moment of our own birth? Now, the indigenous Australians do pretty good about recording their own origins. Their dreamings go back, as near as anyone can figure, 60,000 years. Not bad, not bad at all. But we know that Homo sapiens are much older, that we're around 200,000 years old. And we know that we have artifacts, artifice, things that bear the imprint of human activity consciously directed toward an object which are 105,000 years old. Were these people like us? Did the same spirit possess them? Now, when you look at a decorated pottery shard from 70,000 years ago, and you compare it to a 70-foot coiled and flaming serpent, are they not the same thing? Sure, now, our tools are much better, but the instinct, the drive to artifice, that remains the same across these stretches of time. And why? Why does it remain the same? Well, it's because artifice, in this sense, is a form of communication. It's a type of language. And here we get to the heart of the matter. Now, you know, they've been doing a lot of sequencing of chimpanzee genomes and human genomes and laying the strings out against each other. And we know that we are at most 2% distinct from chimpanzees. And in fact, just last week, they seem to have found a series of genes that makes our brains bigger than chimpanzee genes. So arguably the genes that make us the most human out of all the genes that they found. But what makes us different than the chimpanzees is that we are the species that communicates. And I don't mean that the other species don't communicate, because they do. But that is what we are entirely about. And that's the difference. That's the point of difference. Now, communication has its advantages. It keeps you from getting eaten by lions. It keeps you from eating a bad berry. It makes you more genetically successful. But with anything that's that good, you pay a big price for it. You see, communication is a form of magic. Now, if you don't want to use a mystical term, I'll go scientific and I'll say that communication is necessarily a form of neurolinguistic programming. The better you are at communicating, the more magic you can use, the more you can program the beliefs of yourself and other people. Everyone who communicates, and that's all of us, we are using magic to change the world. Now, sometimes that's the real world of matter and things. More often than not, it's the interior world of culture, of belief. So our world, the human world, inside our heads, is maintained and reinforced by continuous communication.
Yes.
Thank you. And that creates a holy, magical universe that we're living in. So every one of us uses magic every moment of the day. We're all already shaman. There's no test. There's no initiation. It's just the way it is. What comes next, then, is how this power gets used. Do you dominate? Do you liberate? Do you favor order? Chaos. That is a matter of intent. So, Robert Anton Wilson, a favorite writer of mine, once defined reality as the place where rival gangs of shaman fought to a standstill. And you can see this every day, in every way, in the unfolding acceleration of human history toward what we know not, but we'll discuss tomorrow. Since we learned to communicate, we have been competing with one another to see whose magic is going to win out. And in this strong and steady and continuous evolutionary pressure, communication has been evolving. So now all the magic is really quite refined and quite precise and quite potent. We have learned just the words to use to get just about anybody to do just about anything. I was only following orders. Allahu Akbar. Now look what you made me do. And the future of us, dear friends, depends largely on how we can shape our communication as a shield and a weapon to fight the battles that we cannot avoid. It is war. It has always been war. It was ever thus. But can we, the community, can we wrestle the same way they did in the Bhagavad Gita when they're on the battlefield and they don't want to fight because fighting is wrong and killing is wrong? And Krishna says, listen, this is the hand you're dealt. What do? You fight with love. Can we fight with love in our hearts? Ladies and gentlemen, the playa is our training ground. It is our military encampment. Here, we are delighted, we are confronted, we are gobsmacked by the best efforts of so many tens of thousands of others to communicate their magic by any means necessary. 1 week a year, it's kind of like the National Guard. We come together into this desert and show off all our new weapons. The best become permanent. They become part of our arsenals, and we take them home and we improve them, and the next year we're back and we're bigger and we're better. Even here, right here in the speaker's corner, we've all of us come to communicate. We've come to communicate and share our hopes and fears, learning the best things that we've developed to help communicate the points that we want to make, bringing it together, feeding it out, bringing it back in again. It's like a weapons expo. Now, is this a bad thing? All right. We need this assault to toughen ourselves up, because they burn the man and we're back in the mundane world. But burners get to carry with them, as they return to their cities which are scattered throughout the world, a battle plan, an ideology, even a little religious fervor. Now, 3 years ago, during the first burn that I missed in 2003, since I started attending in 1995, I wrote an angry and bitter and sarcastic and funny essay, McBurners.
And yes, you did.
In there, I put something out, and I put it out plainly. Burning Man is a cult. It's a loaded statement, okay, but it's entirely true, because it fits all the requirements. Listen, we are where the Mormons were in 1850, almost exactly geographically. We're where the Scientologists were in about 1970. Christianity started as a cult, so did Islam. You know, it's a common state of affairs, and it's not necessarily a bad thing. But the question for all of us, what kind of cult do we want? That answer will determine the future of us. Now, on Monday evening, I was out wandering with these two, and David is over somewhere over there. And we were on the Esplanade around, I don't know, 7:30 or something, and we heard sitar and tabla and hurdy-gurdy and a whole troop of people on a stage, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, you all know the words. And after the climax, the fellow who must have been leading the troop took the microphone and really started to preach and said, man is meant to sing and dance and give glory to God, this and this only. Man was not meant to work, he said. No toil, only unceasing praise. I listened, and I thought to myself, you know, I like to work. I enjoy what I do. Do I surrender to this man just based on some statement that he's making? Now, of course, we all know it's Krishna. It's a cult. And we're well briefed on that. And so we're, to some degree, immune to it, to its wiles. They're amateurs. But there are 1,000 other cults, invisible and pervasive, which fight magical battles all the time that give shape to reality. Turn on the TV, read the newspaper, talk to your friends. And if you listen hard enough, you can hear the clash of swords with every word spoken. But we know this now. We are aware. And we have our own tools, which mostly consist of weird blinking lights, and a hidden devotion to a different ideal. What is that ideal? That ideal is a conversation that's been going on now for 20 years. And the future of us, of where we are going, is determined by the way we choose to communicate about it. It's simple, but it's not easy. This community in the future of us must find the words as we come here every year to do, find the words. And when we found the words, we change the world. Thank you.